If I could save time in a bottle, the first thing that I'd like to do is to save every day till eternity passes away, just to spend them with you.
If I could. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Hey Kids Comics. This is issue 100. If there was any kind of fanfare, now is when it would play.
This is the issue we've been promising you for the last 99 issues.
And it's going to be the same as ever on the other 99. I'm like my dad on his birthday. I'm like, I don't want nothing. I don't want anything special.
Let your presence be your presence.
That's right.
As we celebrate our 100th.
Put the onus on the bonus. And since we're putting the onus on the bonus, with us tonight is none other than the unmountable Bobby Blakey. He's done so much for the show that I figured I would bring him back one more time before we kill off his character. And
I'm going to die. Yes, that means I'm going to come back stronger and more powerful than ever. and with a new costume and hairdo.
That's right.
Well, we got to bring in a redheaded kid that we adopt.
Then
you also have to have a robot, and you have to have some weird mangled child, you know. And we need a special kid with like a baby arm,
Can there be monkeys? Somebody has a pet monkey.
As long as they're all wearing the same outfit and have like a bouffant hairdo, then we're set.
All right.
Now I know why Bobby's TV shows have never ever been optioned.
Yes, exactly.
It's because nobody wants to see every show starring Mr. Drummond.
And a giant with a baby arm and a monkey.
Yeah.
That is comedy gold.
I have seen some of Bobby's early television work.
Oh, really?
I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah.
I'm
not coming back to his house ever again.
No, that's not actual television. Just anybody can get a Hulu channel these days.
That's so true.
We don't need to discuss Showtime Theater. Let's just move on. Right.
Bobby practicing Tai Chi smothered in hummus from outside of his window.
You don't want to talk about the mullet-wearing young Bobby with something crammed under his shirt pretending to be Justin Wilson.
I'll have you know, I was not Justin Wilson. It was not an impression of him. I was an individual character named Papa Teon, and you just have to get over it.
By the way, I haven't heard the words in conjunction Justin Wilson in like 15 years. I could not be happier right now. Wee!
I don't know if either one of you saw my wife's Facebook post, but she posted a conversation at dinner and basically says, that guy over there is old for me. And she's like, okay. And I'm like, no, you don't understand. Ronnie Millsap old.
Oh, wow.
and it was because he had hair like those guys back in the 70s where, you know, it had that like cowboy hair that was kind of like comic drawing hair. It's kind of angled and it's got come to a point in the center.
Yeah.
It kind of hangs off. You know, kind of like a Disney's Hercules, where he kind of has a little...
Yeah, he has like the S curve, the Superman S, but it kind of comes off the head. And
yeah, but then the outside is kind of... Yeah, but the outside is kind of angled and squared, and he had the full shirt on, and I'm like, that is Ronnie Millsap. And she's like, I don't even understand this conversation.
Where are we? Shut up, woman.
God's truth, though, I actually saw a guy a couple of times at the grocery store locally, this old dude with this hair that was practically yellow.
Nice.
It just occurred to me because I went and saw Guardians of the Galaxy again today, and it occurred to me that if the collector used some sort of styling gel to keep all of his hair, you know, completely together, he would look like this guy.
Nice.
This guy had the biggest bouffant, and it was yellow.
You know, you make a valid point that you know, it would be very easy to hear, next on stage at the Grand Ole Opry, the collector, and he comes out with the...
That's right.
Doing a duet with Ronnie Millsap.
To Ronnie Millsap, Chris Christopherson and the collector.
Wow.
that's just silly.
This is what? No.
I could see it like on old... I'm thinking more episode.
Hee-haw, yep.
You get Roy Clark there, you know, they do some little gag where, you know, somebody gets hit in the butt with a fence plank, and then all of a sudden, here's Roy Clark. here's a collector.
I'm glad you brought up Hee-haw, because I just wanted to slap the crap out of Minnie Pearl. She needed to take that damn tag off of her hat.
Can I let go?
She started that hood mentality a long time ago, and now we got all these brothers running around with the tags on their hats, all because
Geek,
of Pearl.
Geek confessional, 100th episode of Hey Kids Comics. When I was a kid, I had a huge crush on Minnie Pearl.
Wow,
I'm not kidding.
She was 80 years old when you were.
I know. I couldn't. Well, how am I going to help it? She was a strong. She's a strong female character.
Older women.
Well, clearly,
she was a G-MILF.
Do you have the hots for Betty White? And,
I do. I currently have the hots for Betty White. Like right now, I have the hots for Betty White.
Every so often, you'd go for a younger one, like Ruth Buzzy.
Well, with that,
you know what?
Numbers.
I had to get a four-sided dice out when I watched Golden Girls to see who was entering the spank bank that day, whether it was Rue McClanahan, Betty White. What are we going to talk about? This is the best episode of Hey Kids Comics we've ever recorded.
Really,
let me tell you, there was no sexier woman than Bea Arthur back in the Maude days.
Oh, God.
Right on, Maude.
She had beast hands. She had Hank McCoy hands all the time.
That was like a buffet trim right there.
It's a shame that she passed on before the new X-Men movies. That's all I'm saying.
She could have been.
She could have
beat out Kelsey Grammer for the role.
I'm pretty sure she did beat out Kelsey Grammer a few times.
I can't believe I used to fit in this thing.
At the Viper Room. Just beat him to senseless with her giant cement hands. With her.
She could be that weird Rob Liefeld cat chick from...
I don't know. I think that the reason that they cut...
What, Feral or whatever?
Yeah, Feral.
I think the reason that they cut the Juggernaut out of Days of Future Past is because of her passing.
Because he was stupid in the other one?
Because I'm Juggernaut, bitch. Just drop her out of a plane. Just be Arthur. Just...
Hey, they can't do that. They did that with the Hulk and killed him.
It did. All right. We're going to talk... Tonight is our 100th episode. This is 100 you guys are listening to. It's a free podcast.
That's right. It's free, so no complaining.
We are going to discuss something that I was not exactly excited for in the beginning, I'll be honest. But upon further research, became...
And oddly enough, I recommended this as our 100th episode, like after number 3. So I'm just now hearing this.
Right, no, I'm like, can we really make a show? It was one of those where I'm like, can we really make a show out of this? Is this something we can carry for an hour? And I started doing research, and I'm like, holy hell, there's a lot to talk about here. So we're talking about
I thought we were doing a thing about, you know, math. I didn't realize it was actually just the numbering of comic books. I thought we were doing like a math show.
Well, why would we have asked you to be on a math show, Bobby?
Yeah.
Because I'm a mathematical genius.
Are you?
Well, I mean, apart from that,
I am.
Wait, what was your Cajun character's name again?
Name something. I'll tell you. You name something. I'll tell you an answer.
Just anything. It's not going to be right, but I'll give you. Just say a number. You'll never know. So we're talking about the numbering system in comic books and the way that they've changed and things that they've screwed up and how, and more importantly for me, is what can we do as a society, as a comic book utopia to fix this problem? Like, how do we come up with a numbering system that actually works? So what's the title of this episode, Cole?
This is the numbers game.
Of course it is.
Because that just worked perfectly.
And what song are we cutting into this one?
Super stylings of Bobby.
Yeah.
Right. What song are we cutting into this one?
Oh, good night. And we had
ABC 1, 2, 3.
No, we're doing all AM solid gold music for Hey Kids Comics from now on.
That's
Bobby.
Right. We have been inspired by the.
Ooh, can I be a solid gold dancer?
You are in my heart forever.
Yes, I have the gold leotard and the leg.
Oh my god!
I am not surprised.
No, I am not either. He keeps it up.
And I must say, you have the hips for it.
He does. He's got a plexiglass. Case in a mannequin.
They're in my closet.
That's right. Everybody was buying the solid gold hips back then. Now we're going strictly K-Tel these days.
Yeah, that's the way we're rolling. Like
this is a Dance Machine or one of those.
I need to go back and do I need to go back and put Edmund Fitzgerald in the last episode.
Yes.
We're doing One is the Loneliest Number or something like that. I don't remember.
Something like that, yes.
Private Eyes.
We record every conversation we have. So.
We really should. So where does this start? Cole, you're the on-site historian here. So how did the
because
number...
you're the oldest.
Because he's been reading comics longer than any of us and actually has paid attention.
Yeah.
It's because he's been alive longer than the rest of us.
You couldn't tell it by Bobby's crotchety delivery tonight.
First, yeah.
So what?
Really, there were two things that inspired this.
Okay.
One was, of course, K-Tel's Out of Sight. 20 original stars, 20 original hits.
Nobody should give Cole the internet. That's just the worst idea.
Or was it Disco Fire? I can't remember. They were both so good. But now the what inspired this was I got to thinking about the fact that a lot of phenomena occur in comics and in comic collecting. First issues, that used to be like a big deal, and
right.
It often has been. Like when Jim Lee's X-Men, the first issue comes out.
Oh my God!
And Marvel
Red
prints
Team
like
and Gold Team or Blue Team and Gold Team.
Yeah, and they print about a half a billion copies, and then proudly tout this fact.
But you know, the worst thing about that. I don't mean to get off too far on a tangent. The thing that ticked me up, because I'm such a huge Jim Lee fan, so I was excited, you know, like everybody else, about, you know, every cover to connect them.
Oh yes.
Only for them to release the one that they were already freaking connected.
I saw you coming.
And I bought that one too.
You're like, well, I gotta have that one too. I can't just.
I was like, well, now you have done screwed up my set. I gotta have them all.
Oh yeah, and they very proudly touted the fact that they had, you know, it was this massive success, and it was the best-selling comic of all time. And they printed it. I forget what the figure was, but there was a figure attached to it, how many copies of number one had been printed. And a lot of people were really excited about that fact until the more, you know, thoughtful among us bothered to point out. You realize, of course, if they printed that many copies, every man, woman, and child in America who wanted one got one.
Right. Nobody's putting their kids through college on the 1 million, you know, number one of Eclipse, you know, Son of
exactly.
Anarchy, number one that you bought
but
because of that chromium
cover.
But
you'll never be short on toilet paper.
That's right.
That is so true.
In the apocalypse.
Especially if you had Jim 13 and all the 13 covers, you can cover your whole butt for an entire month.
That's right. I do want to point out, though, that some of the hologram covers and those embossed covers during this period are very tough to use toilet paper.
You will cut your ass on those.
Yeah.
It's like dollar store toilet paper.
Yeah, go ahead and skip the covers.
Go straight to the pages.
Line the bird cage.
Anybody that's using the covers deserves it.
That's right.
That's so true.
If you can't feel it and realize maybe I shouldn't, then you deserve the pain that comes along with it.
Or else you got that weird disease where you can't feel pain at all.
Oh, those guys are cool.
Except for the fact that they walk around with a bloody ass from using solitaire number one covers to wipe their butt.
Are you kidding?
You got the Spider-Man 2099.
By the way, I want to create
tattooed across your butt.
I'm going to create right now. I'm putting it out there for the Muggerville universe. New hero or villain? I'm not sure. Maybe an anti-hero that uses variant covers of comic books to fight crime and or cause it.
Wow.
I'm not sure which, but like you know, he can blind people with the chromium covers, confuse and befuddle people with multiple covers to different comic books. Suffocate people with the bagged issues, throw cards from them.
With that Color Forms cover from Superman where he was fighting Lobo.
That's right.
But he can only show up like every 50 to 100 issues because he's got to take that long to collect all of them.
That's so true.
So he has enough because once he throws them away, you know, the variants in the collector covers are hard to find.
Pretty much, it becomes someone else's toilet paper at that point.
I think
we probably, obviously, Bobby fell victim to the number one.
Oh yeah,
and the number two on a daily basis,
which goes back to all the number ones.
You can use the one for the two,
exactly.
But, you know, I think all of us fell for that number one fever. The famous story here at Hey Kids was myself, my friend Steve, who's been on the shows, and our friend James, who all got bitten by the web of Spider-Man number one bug, based solely on the fact that Duncanville Bookstore sold out. It had to be something worth getting a lot of.
So that was.
And I'm going to challenge people, write in to jcumail@yahoo.com. Tell us your best falling for the number one thing story. And if we get one, you're a shoe in. If we get more than one, our favorite one, we will publish on the Jedi Clone Universe website, and we will send you a copy of Web of Spider-Man number one.
Because Cole still has.
I have a surfeit of these available.
I got sucked into the X-Force number one, too, so I could have every single collector card.
I had all of those. I also had all of the Image number ones, multiple copies, so that I could get the coupon.
They got the coupon for Image Zero.
Yep.
and see, that's another example of the numbers game, is the number zeros that came in. All of a sudden, that was a big deal. You know, number one always had a mystique. I mean, I remember, I cannot recall the title, but there was some book that the first issue came out. It had a decent print run. And like anything, a first issue of something other than an established title, like when they start over from scratch, is a bit of a gamble.
Right.
You know, you never know where the number one's going to go. And it was the second issue. Because everybody ordered heavy on the first issue, but they didn't order heavy on the second issue, and it was a big hit. And so the second issue became Spun Gold.
Oh, yeah.
And that was one of those unique phenomena as well, where it wasn't the first issue that mattered, it was the damn second issue.
Well, do you know who we have to blame for this show existing? This particular, our 100th episode existing. There's one man that's
Obama?
To blame. Obamacare. This guy has been responsible for so many issues of Hey Kids Comics now, it's ridiculous. There was a comic book, so for a long time, barring another thing that we'll talk about with the numbering situation, but barring that, it was pretty much a sequential game, right? You had one, you had two, you had three, you had four. Sometimes new comics would come out and there'd be a new number one. You know, so you would go out and you'd find those number ones. Yes, the number ones were ordered high. Number two sometimes becomes Spun Gold. But we didn't really get into the numbering game, the issue of renumbering, until one man decided that he needed to buck the system. And that started with... John Byrne and the Man of Steel.
Exactly.
Damn it, John Byrne. You're the bane of our existence. And you give us a reason for being, so...
Yet again, John Byrne becomes our nemesis.
So he...
And not in that the way like the Bricktop from Snatch, but in a whole different kind of way.
So they did this whole thing with Superman where they had how many titles at the time? I think five?
They had four running titles. The idea was that between the four titles, oftentimes the storylines would run concurrently.
Right.
So you literally all month long, except those annoying weeks where, you know, a Friday or a Wednesday or whatever happened five times, which is, I think by then they had switched to Wednesday releases.
Right.
And a five Wednesdays is a bit of a rarity.
Right.
So it... for the most part, you had Superman all month long. And you had, Superman, Action Comics, The Man of Steel, and another one.
Well, you had Man of Steel, you had Adventures of Superman.
Adventures
Superman,
of Superman, yes.
You had...
Action Comics.
And Action Comics, right. So what they did was, they took... And I don't even understand how they did it, right? They relaunched Superman with a new number one.
Yes.
They changed the existing Superman to Adventures of Superman. They took Superman, the 2006 Super... It was the combination of Superman and Adventures of Superman, the old Adventures of Superman and Superman, and combined them into one title. So they just jacked everything up.
Oh, absolutely. And to make it even more confusing, each issue of the individual four titles, which had their own, because they didn't all start over at number one, each one had additionally a little triangular shape on the cover, if I recall.
Right.
That was the issuing year and what number in that year's sequence this particular issue was. So if you picked up Action Comics number X, it would be like part five of the current year's ongoing storyline. But if you picked up the next issue of Action Comics, it wouldn't be part six. It would be part like 10. Because the subsequent parts were taken over by three other titles. So it was... it really is an unusual, it was clever way to make it easy to tell. Like when I would borrow Steve's Superman books, I could arrange all the titles and then return them in stacks of their actual titles separate from one another.
So you were just a dick. That's what you...
Yeah, I mean, I could have returned them all in any number of sequences, including, talk about when you need mathematical genius Bobby Blakey to help you work out an algorithm.
Right.
2 + 2 = 4.
Thank you, Excellent. Bobby.
Thank you very much. I feel like I'm on one of those PBS shows to teach kids mathematics.
Ladies and gentlemen, Alan Turing is here tonight.
That's right.
One,
Wow.
Yes, right. We're going
Count
there.
Von Count.
So I wanted to acknowledge John Byrne's implicit causality in this happening, because he can't leave well enough alone.
Absolutely.
But the ones that got me, and you were talking about the issue zeros of these, were Marvel. The first ones I can remember that really screwed with me, like numbering and continuity wise, were Marvel's negative ones.
Yes.
Those ones really messed with me. Some of them were good comics. I'm not going to say they weren't, but I'm like, how do these things fall into, like, where do I file these? Do I file these at the beginning of my, like at the very beginning? Like
because sequentially...
Well, you had to file them at the beginning because they're negative, but they, story-wise, it just didn't matter. That was their excuse to say, hey, let's tell a different story now. Nah, we'll call it negative one so it doesn't mess anything up. They'll just confuse the crap out of everybody.
Right.
At least I'll give them credit, because at least over the years they started using the zero numbers to actually do them as prequels, as opposed to where it used to be a zero with just some random freaking story that had nothing to do with anything. It was just some guy sitting in his office and he goes, dude, let's tell a story about Batman, and he finds a shoe. You know, let's make it zero so it doesn't mess with the Joker story we're telling over here.
Remember that one where Batman found a shoe?
It's a shoe.
That's the whole issue.
You want to read it, you're enticed.
A shoe, Alfred. Yes, it is, sir. I don't think you understand. It's a shoe.
But
it's just him obsessing over the shoe, and then it turns out it was just something like Batmite's wet dream or something.
It's one of those where he's like hauling ass down the street in the Batmobile chasing after somebody and sees that, you know, you always see on the highway or on the road, you see like that one kid's shoe or that one person's shoe, and you're is somebody running around without their and not know they're missing that other shoe? You know,
how did that shoe get there?
Now the mystery is, how did the one shoe get there? And
so here's an example, right?
You know, it's like
this guy runs this blog.
Oh, I sure.
Of called comic book numbering. Right, called comic book numbering. It's comic book numbering.blogspot.com, and he's actually done the work that we haven't done. I don't know, but it's really interesting. Like, it's highly interesting to see this, because he talks about the fact that they just released in April X-Men Legacy 300, and how they got to that. So apparently how they got to that was X-Men, the 1991 X-Men book, started at issue 1 and ended at issue 113. Right. So it started at 1, it ended at 113. They renamed it New X-Men in 2001 and ran it from 114 to 156. They renamed it again as X-Men in 2004 and ran it from 157 to 207.
Right.
X-Men Legacy started in 2008 and ran from 208 to 275. Then X-Men Legacy restarted in 2013 with issue 1. It ran from issue 1 to issue 24, and then they released X-Men Legacy issue 300. Because they took the issues 1 and 24 and added them to the 275 to get to 300.
I see.
Even though they restarted. So they're having their cake and they're eating it too with their milestones at this point is what's happening.
And you know, I don't know if this was the first one to do this. There was something else where somebody renumbered. It might have been like Legion of Superheroes or something, where they started over the numbering and then thought better of it.
And went back.
And like, literally, one issue would be like issue number 37. The next issue would be like issue number 625.
Well, yeah.
They basically grandfathered in the issues that went from whatever the last regular issue was, plus the, in much the same way, only not as quickly.
Right.
Well, that's kind of what they did. We were talking about, I think, before the show with the Heroes Reborn. That, you know, they did all that stuff. They bring Jim Lee and Rob Liefeld in, and they restart the series. It's this big Uber restart, and then, you know, then Liefeld left.
Yes, that was it.
They cover all of them. And then as soon as they got done with their 12-part story, Fantastic Four went right back to its original number.
That was the one. I knew there was something prior to the X-Men one that had done the same sort of idea. And, you know, then it, like in all of these things, how do you put this in sequentially? How do you arrange your library, as it were? This is the enemy of the Dewey Decimal System. This is the enemy of order. You know, it's the most chaotic way of it basically farts in the face.
Right.
Because it has to be a nightmare for comic shops, because people come in and they're like, I started collecting,
it's issue 300.
I started collecting X-Men Legacy. And I got number 24. Where's 25? Yeah, you want number 300. No, I want 25. Issue 300 is like years away. I'll be a little man by then. No, you
this
understand.
Is not only is this comics, this is Marvel Comics.
This is comics.
So they live for shit like this.
Yeah.
Well, and then besides the numbering part of it, they reinvent all this stuff. But when they went back to the numbering, they went back like that other stuff never happened.
You know what I mean? If you read up to that point, then you read the next issue when it went to like 210, it was
kind of back like
where you left off.
Yeah,
well, it was like a gas leak happened for 6 months. Remember all those covers of Fantastic Four you got that were Jim Lee drawn, and those never happened.
It was more like
those aren't real.
It was more like we. It was like. You know, late breaking.
If they could have snuck into your house and taken all of those issues of Hero Reborn without you knowing it, they would have.
Which is,
and then they would have said it never happened, and they don't know what you're talking about, and it's mass hysteria, and it's a gas leak.
Yeah, and good luck proving it ever happened.
Well, and that's one of the reasons. And I know nobody reads my comics, so they wouldn't know this, but way back I did something like that on purpose, where I started interjecting in the middle of a story, just a random cartoon. And then I would go, at the end of it, I'd be like, okay, back to your regular story. You know, and that was because of that, as I would see those and they would like just basically waste my time for a year, only to find out that, you know, they'd either forget it ever happened and move on, or, you know, they do that relaunch to revamp them, or they do that time travel thing where they poop shit all away.
So this guy, okay, so the same guy.
The original numbering.
They also released an Ultimate Comic Spider-Man 200.
We're like,
okay. So this guy goes on to speculate, and he even has to extrapolate a little further in, because he says that Ultimate Spider-Man, I love this guy, I want to have this guy on the show, I'm making a call right now, I want to find this guy and get him on the show. Ultimate Spider-Man, Peter Parker Ultimate Spider-Man,
nice.
Ran from issue
Absolutely.
1 to 160, so that's 160 issues. The Miles Morales ran from issues 1 to 28, so that's 28, leaving us at 188. He says, okay, at this point we can add in the 100 project, which is another issue. The issue 16.1, which is another thing that Marvel did, which Bobby will talk about, because I've actually talked to him about that. The 0.1 issues. It makes 190. If you add in the Wizard World or the Wizard Comics half issue, the three Cataclysm issues. The three annuals, and then Ultimate Spider-Man Requiem. You're at 199. There's still an issue missing, and they named an issue 200.
Wow. Well, you know, and the thing about it is, God bless him, because as a toy collector, especially as a Star Wars toy collector, the same thing happened to us when many years ago, and the Star Wars toy collectors are like, yeah, I know where he's headed. Hasbro released, in their 3¾-inch scale, 300th Boba Fett. It was a Boba Fett figure in a really dynamic pose in this big-ass box that was supposed to be the 300th action figure in the line. And they did something similar with a 12-inch figure of 100th Luke for the big figures. And in both on both sides, toy collecting websites lit up trying to figure out, how do you even arrive at this number? It was impossible. I mean, if you included every vintage figure, even if you threw in variations, right. I think it was, you were still hard pressed. You either came in with too few or too many, and it was the same sort of idea where, like, somebody farted out a number without really thinking about it, or their math was a little off.
Right, just, exactly. You know, which brings me to another thing: these damn young whippersnappers with their damn internet and their hula hoops and their Yannis and their smartphones, and they're ordering comics online in our day. You had, how many Batman titles were there in, like, 1992? You had Batman, you had Detective Comics, you had Dark Knight. I'm trying to think. I know there was at least one or two more. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, there were...
Shadow easily. Of the Bat.
And then you had, like, and then later, I'm not sure the chronology, but as you go on, you had things like that Gotham... Gotham Knights, and yeah, Shadow of the Bat was one, and yeah, there were no shortage. I mean, Batman was more than flavor of the month. It was flavor of the year.
Well, and don't forget, besides the 35 monthly titles he had, they were putting out 5 or 6 hardcover Batman separate stories that had nothing to do with the continuity.
Oh, that's
anywhere.
So true. Yeah, it was,
you know, he's over here fighting Judge Dredd, he's fighting the Predator, he's fighting Dracula, but meanwhile, he still can't beat the Joker. You know, like, this guy
aliens
down
and...
these
yeah, he's fought Terminator and
yeah, he fighting RoboCop. He fought the Predator twice in one.
He fought the cast of the Brady Bunch at one point. It was
he raced Kaneki in Batman versus
people,
Grease in the Batmobile. But if you saw one thing in one, and I remember pretty vividly seeing something in a Batman book once when I was young, you know, when I was like probably 15, remembering a couple pages of a particular issue of a Batman book. No, don't remember what it was. I think it was a book that had KG Beast in it, where he fought KG Beast. And I don't know why, but I went back and tried to find it before the internet.
I'm sorry.
Impossible. Impossible, because there were 6 Batman books, and each one, you know, had how many issues? What was the run on Detective Comics? Yeah, right.
Oh, yeah.
You couldn't find it. It wasn't like I could say, I need the issue of Batman that had KG Beast in it to a guy at a comic shop. He's like, oh, well, it's this one. Well, that depends. Was it KG Beast's appearance in Shadow of the Bat, or was it Detective Comics, or was it, you know, Gotham Sirens, or was it...
Or you get the guy like I just recently experienced at North Texas Show trying to find the first appearance of Mr.
No,
Bando.
Please tell it.
I have to tell it because you mentioned it. I don't mean to interrupt you, Andy.
No, that's perfect.
He goes, I went and asked the guy, and I'm like, I looked it up, and I'm like, do you have Shazam? I think it's Captain Marvel Adventures, number whatever it was. I think it's number 8 or something. And I said, the first appearance of Mr. Banjo. And he's like, who? And I said, he's like, Mr. Banjo, you know, he's part of the Monster Society of Eve. He goes, oh, yeah. I know exactly which one that one is. Number 8. He goes and starts digging out. He goes, here you go. And I'm like, sweet. And I'm looking at it. And he goes, that's first appearance of Mr. Mind. And he goes, well, I'm pulling out characters that actually exist.
Wow.
And I said, Mr. Banjo's a real character. And he's like, well, I've never heard of that. And I was like, well, you have a sad life. And then he still tried to sell
Well, maybe, just maybe, you
and
should be
right
as
one.
Up on your Mr. Banjo chronology as I am, sir.
But Bobby... Yeah, Bobby was very adamant about getting the appearance of Mr. Banjo. I think we sort of set a
So what is the point ones, Bobby?
I'm going to find that damn book. You know, I'm at a loss now. Most of these were like they, and correct me if I'm wrong, it was like they would start a number one of a book, then they would start a point one to do something different with the book.
Sort of, yeah.
Or tell a what different story or some
they would
direction
call it a,
that made
they would
no
call
sense.
It a jumping on point. The point ones were your jumping on point.
Oh, yes.
Well, ignoring the stuff that happened in however many issues it was till the point one.
Ignoring the stuff that happened in number one.
Because I, you know, the age of, go ahead.
Right. You know, used to, as it, mentioning a jumping
right,
point, you
right.
know, used to a book said on the cover, this is a new story begins here. That's, they used to post that on the freaking book. You'd know when to jump on that book. Now it's just, it's number one again, and then in really small print,
well,
sucker,
okay, so,
you know, and you buy it, and it's in the middle of a freaking story. You know, you open the page, and the first page is Superman hitting somebody, and it's got the asterisk to say, see Superman 299,
right.
And then when you buy issue two,
there was
a 403.
There was
like,
an issue of an, it was the Avengers, and it was a point one issue. And this was recent. This was in the last, like, 5 or 6 years, where you buy the point one issue because it looks really cool. And the whole point one issue is a setup for Age of Ultron. Okay? So Spider-Woman flies into this cave and finds all these parts to all these supervillains, all, you know, beat up and taken, and just the parts of their armor and different things that identify them. And then all of a sudden, you know, blah, 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 something happens, and then Ultron's there, like, brack, and then I'm like, oh, this is sweet! Like, I want to read this, and at the same time, Wonder Man's there, like, you don't need to be the Avengers anymore, and all this stuff, and I'm like, this is not the issue from before, like, this is a whole different thing they're doing, like, but it's awesome, like, I want to read this, I really want to read whatever's happening here, I can't wait for next month to go right back to the story that I didn't like, oh, come on, guys, really?
with that whole Ultron story thing, when they were doing that, not only were putting out the point ones, they started putting out, it would be like, Avengers
right.
number 15, you know,
right.
AU, you know, so they had after Ultron issues.
Oh, okay. It was laced with gold.
That makes a lot more sense.
I love
that meant
gold.
I thought they were going with the periodic table.
Well,
yeah, I really did. I didn't kind of shied away from them because the price of gold was outrageous at that time.
Here's the problem with that. They're giving you the after Ultron stories in the middle of
and
a freaking
in mind,
Ultron story.
Also, keep in mind, for the most part,
so
the Age of Ultron story
Carol,
does not happen in normal continuity. It's like a Days of Future Past type thing.
Right, but every one of them started becoming...
Right.
They started... That entire storyline was done like a Quentin Tarantino movie where it started at the end and then starts telling you the story in all different directions and you have no idea what's going on until the end of it. And by that time,
exactly.
Everything goes back to normal and you realize none of this really matters. Uh-huh. And you're like, what the... Why didn't you put this in the graphic novel?
It was like the House of M stuff that happened where you're
just
like,
put it
what?
As an Elseworlds book
why?
And leave us alone.
I don't... Why? Why are you telling this story? Or, Original Sin. Oh God, that hurts. That hurts my butt. It feels like I just wiped my ass with a chromium cover. Right. There was a lenticular cover. It felt different going up than down. It was rough.
Holograph cover. Yeah, but on the lenticular, get those ones
right
in there that makes that like.
So Cole, tell me where on the number 1 million DC they hurt you.
Well, where does one begin? 1 million is just it's just a bad idea. I mean, jumping to 300 or something is ambitious and apparently causes someone to lose a lot of sleep and do a whole website to in hopes of combating their insomnia. But, you know, 1 million, has anyone calculated how many years it would be before we catch up to that?
Well, Cole and I were discussing it earlier. And we came up with a really interesting postulation on what happens. A hypothesis of how you get to DC 1 million. Cole, would you like to extrapolate what we spoke of earlier today?
Oh wow, I'm
afraid.
I think
the only way
had
we
so many things
it out
to
would
run in my
be,
head.
If it was like a Planet of the Apes
I'm gonna do a
type scenario where during like at some point there's an apocalypse and
oh, that's
a whole vault of an entire run of DC Comics gets buried in somewhere, probably in Command D, and probably in that bunker, and eventually it gets unearthed by a humanoid tiger-headed dude. The tiger-headed dude then creates a religion out of it, worshiping Batman as a godlike figure. Goes on to start redoing from whatever issue they left off, and it just continues down the tunnels of time until finally it gets to DC 1 million about the point at which Charlton Heston is finding the head of the Statue of Liberty on a beach somewhere.
That's right. With a copy of, like, with all 13 copies of Gen 13.
Gen 13. I was going to go the same.
Or worse yet.
You can't find the last one.
He finds 12 variant covers. Damn you! Damn you!
Oh, man.
What the hell?
I honestly think that might be the first time that J. Scott Campbell has been mentioned on the show.
I think it is. You are probably right about that.
David Finch.
Unusual numbering and such.
Speaking of unusual artists.
I can't remember the title. It may have been one of those god-awful New Universe titles. And this is where I wish Steve was here, because he might actually remember which book it was.
You're not talking about, like, don't talk crap about Psyforce.
That wasn't New Universe.
I don't know.
Yes, it was.
Yes, it was.
I can't believe I'm still reading this.
I used to read that book religiously, and every time I read an issue, I was like, this is a horrible book. Why do I keep buying this?
That was the thrall that it had over. Yeah, but there was some Marvel book that, you know, it ran for about a year or so. Like, let's say, you know, 16 or 18 issues, maybe longer. But for the sake of argument, let's just call it 18 issues. And when it finally got canceled, which it was long overdue, the last issue said number 18 in an 18-issue limited series.
They just made it up at the end.
I mean, no other. This was back in the day when, you know, if you had a limited series, which were usually they were 4 to 6 issues. And they would say, like, you know, number 2 in a 6-issue limited series, number 3 in a 6-issue limited series across the top on the Marvel books that were limited. They actually, the last issue, tried to claim, oh, no, this was a limited series. It's like, no.
So, how do we... I'm more interested in understanding the past so that we can fix the future of this situation. Like, how do we... What is the answer to how do we fix this so that we don't have these problems anymore? Like, obviously, it was something that worked for a long time. Right. Okay. How do we fix? How do we fix this and continue to have comic books that we love? Right. Let's put it that way.
I think we just start everybody over at 500, so there's a fighting chance that something will hit 1,000.
You know what I think we should do? I think you get rid of numbering altogether, and when you put you go back to the old school way, and you put on the cover of the book, just like they already do it anyway. You know. So, like, you have the Superman Doomed storyline going on right now. And every book that it crosses over, it says Superman Doomed Part 1, Part 2, Part 3, and it bounces in all these books.
Right.
If you put those titles on there, you know which storyline you're looking for. You slap that crap on there, a new story arc.
Do you even need...
Here, this, now. You don't need the numbering. The numbers
no,
mean
go ahead.
Nothing.
No, keep going.
If you were going to start from issue... Do what? No, if you're going to start at number 1 and go to number 12, when that's one long story, that's one thing. But then again, it becomes a miniseries. If we did every book as a and treated them all like miniseries,
right.
You know, you have, you know, Batman Cult, you know, the 4 issues of the Cult book. That comes out, then the next story is, you know, the Son of Batman storyline, you know, and then you have the Batman Dracula storyline. If you just release them all like that and
right.
stop trying to make a monthly book, but still put out monthly books, you have the same exact thing. And the continuity doesn't no longer matters. But you can still reference back if you say, you know, when they did the, like when they were doing when the,
yes.
What was it, Detective Comics, I believe, when it started in the New 52 and they did the Joker storyline and they wrapped back to it.
See, that's the whole point, what you're describing right now.
Or just Batman. It doesn't matter. But Exactly. But if you do the storyline and then, you know, down the road you create another one and you revert back to that, and that's when you put the asterisk C, Son of Batman, issue
well,
four.
You
and that's
even
what opened the storyline for this one. But you don't need the individual numbers
with,
anymore.
With
they
the names
nothing.
Of characters on it anymore. Or do you...
I think you do from a standpoint, because if I pick up a book...
Well, that's not okay. So let's say like you've got
a Plastic Man book,
because everything arcs now. Even this show arcs, right? Everything arcs in 5 or 6 issue arcs, or longer, or 12 issue arcs, you know, or however, whatever long arcs you've got. Would it be a bad idea to have like Flash? I forget the name of the most recent Flash story arc about his Rogues Gallery, but Flash, whatever Rogues Gallery, 1 of 12, 2 of 12, 3 of 12. And then you could have a you know, and then at the end of that, Flash whatever the one shot, or Flash whatever, you know, just if you want to do single issues, have it all continuity.
But see, that's the thing. That's the same thing with when you don't need the numbers and you just let it keep flowing. You're releasing the same thing, but instead of worrying about the numbers, you look at the storylines.
Right.
And if somebody looks at it's like for instance, as a reviewer, and they send me stuff, right? When they send me a book and it says
right
part 4 of something sub story, and I haven't read the first 3, I'm like, I'm not going to read this. I have no idea what the hell's going on, you know. But if I was going to the store shopping right. And I see this book and Jim Lee drew it, and you know, the Superman, we'll say the Superman Doom thing that I mentioned earlier, we'll look at it, Jim Lee, like, man, this issue looks really badass. This is part 4. I'm going to go find parts 1, 2, and 3, because that's the story I'm looking for. I'm not looking for the book, because this is like an Action Comics. It's in Superman Wonder Woman. It's got a Superman Doom to one shot that's actually part 1 of the storyline, but it doesn't say it. It just says Superman Doom number 1. But it doesn't even say one
right.
shot, so you think there's a series coming, but in reality, it's covering through every Superman book that is made, you know, where if they just put it out and it was just, you know, Superman Doomed on the title, and you put that storyline out, you put whatever characters you want into it. If it's going to be a Superman-only story, then you just say Superman, and then you put what a thing. If it's the Justice League, you slap them on there. They want to say a Batman and then let the Justice League and people make up, or the same thing with the X-Men. It's Wolverine and guest starring the X-Men, like the olden days. You know, you used to
yeah.
slap the big explosive
right.
star crap thing on the cover, and it would say guest starring so-and-so. There were no mysteries who was going to appear in these books.
No.
You know,
no.
it'd be like, it's Captain Marvel
no.
featuring Mr. Banjo. You know, that book should have existed. But,
what do you think?
What I'm saying. Back in the old days,
what do you
look
think,
at
Cole?
A comic cover, you knew what was in that book. You know, there wasn't too many mysteries.
I think though that there is a comfort that comes with the numbering. People are accustomed to being able to,
right.
You know, attach some sort of sequence to things. That's the reason we number things in the first place. Once you disappear that, then you know you think it's tough to piece together the storylines from all the different Superman titles. I remember when we had the shop, I was trying to figure out how the hell to recommend something when I didn't necessarily have
right.
every single damn issue
right.
of, you know, the storyline running through 4 different titles. But at least there was something you could hang your hat on. There was some sequential something there. And that's, you know, at once you have the good... you know, the practical upshot is you've got that comforting sequential reference point.
Right.
But the downside is the publishers inevitably screw that up. And
but
so
see,
it leaves you having the argument, do we really need numbering? Well, yes, we do. What we need to do is leave it the hell alone. One should be the starting point and just let it run the way numbers run. This isn't a calendar. You don't start over again at 12.
But see, what you're saying, though, not necessarily to argue with you, but what you're saying is the same thing as what I was saying with the storylines, is you only need the numbering is for that particular storyline. As long as you know, if you say it's Batman and each 5 issues or 12 issues or whatever the storyline changes, and they treat it like they do the graphic novels where they put it out and it's the name of the story arc, you know, so Justice League Volume 2, Throne of Atlantis comes out. If you had put that as each of those individual issues as Justice League, Throne of Atlantis, Part 1, Part 2, Part 3, Part 4, then when that storyline's over, then it goes into, you know, whatever the next one was, and you just number it based on that storyline.
Well, then you're getting into the unfortunate condition of writing 2 arcs.
Yeah, but if you...
The advent of the graphic novel has led to a condition where... even the best writers are shackled.
But that brings me to a whole nother stick in the wicket, right? And that Stick in the Wicket is what I'm going through right now with the new Moon Knight comic, which is badass, by the way.
I read the first issue and moved on.
Issue 5, Moon Knight cuts the nipples off
of a guy.
Doesn't
mean I won't give it a chance later on, maybe like collecting one, but I hated the first issue.
And why he does it was because Warren Ellis, who wrote issue 1 through 6, when he, back in the early aughts, wanted to have Batman do that to the Joker. And DC wouldn't let him. So he went back to the well with Moon Knight and Marvel. Okay. And Marvel's like, fuck, I don't care. It's Moon Knight. Do whatever you want to do.
So I have to ask, while I'm sure this isn't going to be as awesome as my vision of this, what I envision right now from what you're telling me is as the scene takes place, as he's cutting the nipples off this young man, there's a box. There's an asterisk next to the sequence.
No, but it was in an interview. Because here's the thing, right?
The reason
you
I
don't go.
Nipples.
You read along and it's Moon Knight and it's crazy, right? Yeah, the first 4 issues, crazy Moon Knight has the multiple identities. Starts dressing like Don Draper from Mad Men with a hood on, like just weird, right? Comes back from the dead again. You know, whatever. Issue 5 cuts a guy's nipples off. What doesn't happen is you let that go. So every comic book reviewer that had access to Warren Ellis at the time was like, what the hell, dude? So he told that story about 1,000 times. I'll link it to you. I found an image of it. Kurt found me an image of it when we were talking about that issue that I'll link. I think it might be linked on my Facebook right now, but I'll try to link it back to you again. He said, you know, DC wouldn't let me do it. And he goes on this whole tirade about how, you know, being this spirit of how Batman wasn't scaring villains anymore, just being Batman. They knew that he wasn't going to kill him, that he was going to throw him into the revolving door of Arkham, and they were going to come out. He had to do something to reinstill fear in people. Why not cut the Joker's nipples off?
That would do
he was trying to put a
but
shadow
this brings me to a whole other thing
character.
Right now I was talking about Moon Knight.
So it's help me.
at the end of issue 6, issue 7 begins
as
a new creative
as well
team.
He should.
So how does that fall into the numbering system? You were saying that writers feel shackled. Well, writers only really get, at most now, what would you say, 12 months on a book before they're rotated out?
That's a good point, yeah.
Yeah, again, if you... And this is a comic industry situation. If they need to do these arcs, they need to keep the same team on the arcs and don't change the creative team until it's a new story. And, you know, I know some of these artists can't keep up with it sometime, or they get bogged down or they get behind. Yet it's like some books in every company, they will wait for the artist to put the book out, where other books they'll bring in some hack artist to do a fill-in issue. You know, and like, you know, you take like Superman Unchained with the Jim Lee Superman book he's doing right now. I think it's issue 8, maybe 7 or 8.
Well,
hasn't come out, or 9. I don't remember which one it is. But it was postponed because Jim Lee wasn't done with it. They didn't bring in, you know, Jason Fabok or whatever his name is to draw the book for him to fill it in, even though the guy's a great artist. They waited on Jim Lee. But
well,
if it would have been...
That was the syndrome that Kevin Smith started.
LaFell
and
Lee started back in their Image days. But that just happened with... Yeah, that's true. But Matt Fraction just went through that with Hawkeye because they were going to release this book that was all in sign language. And they still are, to benefit some cause. Deaf people. To benefit deaf people. I was looking for the actual cause name in my brain, but yes.
Deaf people? The deaf people.
God, I hope not.
One of these days,
God,
they're going to put out a book.
They did. It's called Bad Rock, number one. Yeah.
Hey.
But he couldn't get the book finished because of the intensive research that needed to be done. Because what they would do is they would do a whole panel of, I guess the way they're doing it is they're doing a whole panel in sign language, but they would have to go in and instead of lettering, they have to go in and actually illustrate each sign to show you what he's trying to say, which is a really cool ass idea. But also, exactly, that's awesome. And it's also very time
consuming.
That is
not a cool. That is a stupid idea. You know how much space that's going to take up? That's ridiculous. That's messing up all the artwork. Those poor artists did all that work, and now they're going to draw right over.
What that does
exactly
is mean more so, pages. Which
in
means
light
more
of
cost,
all of those
which
things,
means more money for the church.
Here's my suggestion.
The problem is the only people who have to raise the money from the charity are the
damn
people that
it,
need that book. They're needing the charity, so they're spending their own money into the charity. it's like I'm not buying that book. I'll give the money to the charity.
Here's the thing, Bobby. Deaf people can still read proper words.
Well, apparently not, because I would have thought the same thing, but
because it's a cool idea and it's a way to raise money, you heartless bastard.
It doesn't even matter. It's just the stupidest thing I ever heard. That's just stupid. No, that's say so, yeah. We're gonna raise money on this book.
People
what
hands.
Did you do special for this book? We took out all the words and we drew hands.
Like, people hands.
So people
here's
hands.
Idea. Here's my
and
idea.
Every so
and
often
sure
we throw in a three-finger cartoon
really
hand.
Qualified reasons to shoot me down, and I want to hear them. If you're gonna do a book, sign these guys on for a one-year contract. They have to do this book for a year. They can work for whoever else they want, but within this year, they have to do 12 issues of this book. The books are then numbered with the year that it was released and the book number. So 2014, 1 through 12, Batman the Dark Knight. So if I go into a comic shop and there's an issue I want to get from a particular group or a particular creative team, I can say, when did this happen? Well, I think it was 2014. So if you look in the 2014 volume, 2014 of this, maybe we can find it there. Does that...
Well, you remember they used to do that with some of the annuals. I believe it was Marvel used to do that, where they would put out the annual and it'd have that big,
right,
you know, 94, 96... number slapped under the title.
Yeah, but that's the annual, so you kind of want to attach it to the year.
Right, but I'm saying it's the same idea, but I think that causes an issue too of the standpoint of still, again, you need to know what year to be able to find it, where if you just keep it the same continuity, again, the 12 issues the year, that's fine, because you can keep the artist on there, but even if the arc's only five, you know, I think they need to be signing them for a full arc. Then they'd sign them for another arc and keep them on those arcs instead of having these secondary ones and these fill-in issues. If the guy says, I can't do, you know, I can do 12 issues, then you do 12 issues. If the guy's like I'm doing the reboot of Gen 13 for Rick, I need
I
to also
like we're
do...
I feel like we're playing comic book, like a
no,
game
I need,
of civilization,
I need to finish my six-ish
but with
Batman.
Comic books right now. Like, we're trying to solve... It's like Model UN with comic books.
Yeah, I still think we can easily do without the numbers, in my opinion. I know that we're all used to it as a society, but I think if the whole thing, if everything as a whole changed and it said, look, we're going to still have the same books, Batman, Superman, Spider-Man, X-Men, whatever, but they're going to be one book of each one, or even if you say the Uncanny X-Men, you have the Incredible X-Men, the Amazing X-Men, whatever, you still have those same books.
Taco X-Men.
Exactly. You still have those same books, but they have the title of the arcs, which every one of these books have the titles for these arcs already.
So what happens with the one
shot? So if you just slap it on the cover and you, again, you put the part one, part two, there's your numbering system. Yeah,
that's true.
No, even the one shots, no, a lot of the one shots even have titles of the story. So you still just slap the name of the story on there and it's one book.
In August.
It comes out every month. It's like normal. Yeah, it's still a flashbook still comes out every month. It's the same way as it is now. The only difference is instead of us having to figure out if we're on issue 35 or 715, we're looking at the storyline. If we don't like that storyline, you can jump over and wait for the next one to come out, or you go back and find the ones you missed because you do want to read that storyline.
Okay, one thing occurs to me.
Shut up.
Andrew's
shut up right now. I knew you were going to say that. That's not true. That is not... I object firmly and without temerity to your statement.
I have, you know, you can object all you want. You can object
it
all you want.
It is not based on KG Beast.
Right.
It is
your
based on the idea
on
that then you can buy a trade paperback volume of 2014 and has every issue of 2014 for this particular comic book in it.
Okay, well, how about this? What would you think about... Forget the money part aside, because we know this will never happen because this is a money thing. But why not just, because, you know, do the issues, spend extra time, and just put them out as books? do the story arcs instead. And if you get enough ahead of them, you say, okay, there's more money there because they put out a bigger book. And of course, not everybody wants to buy the bigger book. They want the individual issues. But everything came up as a original graphic novel instead of series. They can have the one artist do this, or the even the fill-in artist for that matter, because you have to contain stories.
To some extent. Like 3 or 4 a week. And my thing is, I'll be honest, I would rather buy the collecteds. I would rather have all of it at once to round out a story arc and call it a day. There's a completionist part of my brain that loves that idea of having it all right there. I can start it and I can finish it, and it's a contained story. I don't like having to wait. My patience would rather pretend it doesn't exist until I can buy it all at once than have to buy it monthly.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I'm saying instead of those other issues even existing, so you wouldn't have that issue anymore. They just say, you know, because there's so many titles that if they just started putting them out and say, okay, this week you have a Wolverine graphic novel, you have a Superman graphic novel, you have a Green Lantern graphic novel, and then, you know, something from Image and something from, you know, Dark Horse and something from Antarctic Press and all these different things. So you still have a slew of books come out, but they're self-contained stories. The next month they have the next self-contained stories. You keep them in that same thing, but it's just the full-on arcs. So you have everything contained.
So essentially, the equivalent to simply releasing trade paperbacks instead of individual issues.
Yeah, because in reality, I think you could. Obviously, logistically, that's never going to happen because they make more money selling the individual issues than releasing the trade paperback.
And all often reselling like you what you already bought.
Yeah, and all of us, like I said, all of us Yahoos rebuying the same thing because they put in pencil sketches and they put in variant covers. And they put in, you know, script pages. Like, I gave a rat's ass about this, how the guy wrote down the script on a piece of paper when I know what the script is when I read the freaking story. But you get the insight, so you feel like it's like a special feature is on a DVD, you know, with commentaries.
Oh, that's
and all
exactly
things.
What's driving that is
yeah,
the feel of the special feature.
Well, and like when I review a graphic novel, I make a point there. And besides the collected issues, these issues, this book also features these covers and this, and it's all the bells and whistles that goes along with it. They don't even take the time to do original covers for their graphic novels anymore. It's usually the first issue of that story arc. They just slap it on the cover. Yet Marvel has started doing these original graphic novels now. They're not thick. You know, you have Thanos Infinity, was it Revelation? It just came out. Yeah, it's not a really thick book. It's maybe 2 or 3 issues thick, you know, lengthwise. It's a self-contained story, and it's not a huge book, but it's a great book. You know, so if you put something like that, they've been doing, they have the Spider-Man one, they have an X-Men one, they have a Thanos one. They keep churning them out. You know, of course, they're doing their other books, but they're self-contained stories that still can keep expanding.
You can't slap a variant. Right.
You can.
It's just a hard sell.
Well, here's the thing, though, is you can do a couple of different things there. Because they sell, you know, like DC has all their books with these wraparound covers like an actual book, the slip covers, you know. So they could sell the slip cover separately as an individual thing. You slap whichever one you want on your damn book and you're still buying the art. Or you pay a premium price and it comes with all 4 different slip covers in one thing. You know, so there's different ways to do it and get the artwork, but at the same time, when you buy the graphic novel, you're getting all the individual miscellaneous variant covers in the book already.
Okay, slip cover thing. I know Bobby said a lot of stuff that was stupid. The slip cover thing was stupid.
No, it is stupid. It is stupid. But what I'm saying is, there's so many different ways to do that.
Oh, okay, we gotta wrap up. So I want to hear Cole's.
Marvel prints it right onto the freaking hardcover thing.
Right, Bobby, we also have to record your show tonight.
We're grown-ass people. This is the 100th issue, or in this case, it may be the 500th issue.
This is the 100th issue,
I have a question. Is this
negative
actually the 100th issue, or is
zero,
this actually the
1 million
issue?
AU. Cole, how do we fix this problem?
AU.
AU. I think it really comes down to working out a proper numerical system and leaving it the hell alone. There was never any reason to start over at number 1 other than the mystique of the number 1. And, you know, the argument often was, if we start over at number 1, then we have a jumping off point. Well, you have a jumping off point in 1998.
Right.
But what happens when 2010 rolls around, or 2012? Well, we started over at number one again, so we have a jumping off point. Well, why didn't you have a jumping off point every damn year?
And then, equation, of course, you, by the
you're,
way.
You're
Thank
going
you
with the Blakey equation, where, yeah, but you know, the idea is that the jumping on points simply don't exist. That's what back issues are for, and that's why the comic shop still exists to this day in a digital age that. You know, the comic industry, as we talked about one of our earliest episodes, decried as
right.
being on its deathbed for 10 years.
Not to be confused with deathbed versus death's head.
That's so true.
Which is my upcoming licensed graphic novel.
I think. Oh. My upcoming graphic novel is, oddly enough,
nice.
I'm jumping on the deathbed bandwagon as well, with Deathbed versus Killdozer.
See, I was spinning off of yours nice. After you
because
did
Marvel
yours,
Comics actually
Death's
adapted
Head versus
Killdozer.
Deathbed versus Killdozer versus Bill Moseley. I don't know why Bill Moseley was in there, but he is, so.
Mr. Banjo.
That's right.
That, but it makes Bill, sense, really.
It's because Bill
Moseley
is a very nice guy.
We know, Bobby.
It makes a lot more
I wasn't
sense.
Saying that he's going to die or it was horrible.
Bill
I was
Moseley
doing it for a reason because he's awesome. God.
okay.
Everybody agrees that Bill Moseley's awesome.
Okay, don't scare me like that.
Yes, it was in Marvel Comics. Oh, absolutely. Since this is very important that we talk about numbers on this show. Killdozer, or the thing called Killdozer,
really
appeared in Marvel Comics Worlds Unknown Presents number 6 with a 20-cent cover price. The Killdozer itself is there barreling down on our heroes, declaring, "You dare to defy me, and you must die." This is a Killdozer. And in fact, and it says as seen on TV, except their Killdozer is a lot more exciting.
Can we do a
Killdozer
on a
TV,
tank
which
crossover?
A standard bulldozer from Caterpillar. That would
it
be,
would be
something
the most
else.
Boring.
Haunted Tank
comic
versus
book
Killdozer
ever made.
Would be a great cross company crossover. Oh, yeah. Well, you'd see that ghost of
he'd
Jeb
just be like,
Stewart.
I'm out.
Hey,
listen,
look
he'd
at
drop,
there.
He'd
what
drop
the
his saber and just
called
leave.
Trap ship
be like,
is
I can't.
There.
I can't do this, guys.
Coming toward us, son.
I can't do this anymore. Yeah. I quit.
I'm going to go find something else to haunt.
Well, as long as I'm only down for it is it as long as it has like an appearance of Wonderbug in it.
That's your line.
Wow,
that's
nice.
Your line.
Sorry, that's where I gotta go. You know,
God,
maybe
word of your crap.
You have to have Wonderbug. No. Maybe have like Sigmund drawing it from Sigmund and the Sea Monsters. That'd be awesome.
Yeah, there's a lot that we could jump all over with that.
Start over
but,
with
you know,
one
really,
and let it ride.
It's the goofy
until
ass
the end of time
that makes
figure
no
out
sense.
When you screwed up and start from there.
Yeah, until the end of time. And,
well, you know,
and don't be the hell afraid.
Try
of
for the
issue
four digits. That should be your benchmark.
Do not be terrified of the four digit numbering.
Right.
Oh, absolutely. Because I mean, the four digit should
Bobby,
have.
Bobby, what were you sounding incensed about over there?
We should be in the thousands on some DC.
Bobby, give Bobby just Jeb Stewart, and he just gave up. He's like, nope. All right, we're gonna wrap her up. That's okay.
I don't even. I had something and it left. It's just
perfect. Of course,
you're getting to that age, Bobby.
More show I could do the next morning.
It's just gone.
You go. Oh,
I'll bring it.
Will.
I'll bring it up on the next show.
Hey, Cole, what's our next show about? What's issue 101 about?
I'm sure the.
or. Bird-headed
we're
guy, bird-headed guy, cat, bird-headed guy, because from now on we're using hieroglyphics.
Well, since we have hit... That's right.
Yes!
We're using the symbol for Ra.
Is Prince writing this issue?
That's right. Thing about it is, since we have reached this milestone 100th issue, Andrew, this is the first you've heard of this, of course, but... We're starting over at number one. Sales have been slagging.
What?
I feel
Wait
like
a
the
second.
Show needs a good jumping on point.
Well, then all new creative team.
That's right. I'm replacing us both. Bobby, you're actually going to be one of the new hosts.
With Roy and Rick.
Well, here's what we do. Is
okay, on
we
second
take
thought,
Bobby and Eddie.
It's going to be called Hey
Kids,
Kids
Comics.
Yes.
Right? We let it continue. At issue 101, Cole, you and I will go do Legend of the Hey Kids Comics, starting over at issue 1.
Yeah.
Shadow of the Hey Kids Comics.
Oh, that's true. Or Shadow.
Yeah, okay. You guys can can start at 101 with Hey Kids Comics. We'll jump 50 years into the future for Hey Kids Comics. But we're going to go back and do alternate timeline stories with Cole and I, and we're going to call it What the Hey Kids Comics, starting at issue 1.
We'll be What If Hey Kids Comics.
There you go.
Also, before we close, I do have to point out we would be remiss not to mention 52, the backward numbering that probably drives non-comic people insane. With the first encounter 52 in the quarter bins. And yes, that's where you'll find it. Because 52 was 52 week series.
That's
that
right.
And sequentially 52, 51. It was counting down to the first issue, which was actually the last issue. Yeah. And
which led to Infinite sort of like Crisis. Am I right in that assumption?
16, 15, 14, 13, and all down to 2, 1. And then the final issue turned out to be Ready or Not, Here I Come. It was the 53rd issue. It turned out it was just this giant game of cosmic hide and seek.
But you're right. That was a thing that happened. Like they
yeah, that actually did backward numbering. Did a countdown, as it were. And I think, wasn't there a DC Countdown?
Yeah, there was a book called Countdown.
Countdown, yeah, that did that as well. But in answer to your question, issue 101, we're getting a brand new story arc after we complained about being slavish to the arcs, but we have not been slavish to them. We have them.
Oh, is this the one I can't wait for? Is this the
This is the one I can't wait for either. This is the long-awaited Challenge of the Super Fails.
Yes.
With the first issue being Astonishing Fails.
Yes. Cannot wait.
And we will be doing a 5-issue series. Other titles include Dial Z for Zero, Defective Comics, and we're going to round out the arc going back to one of our favorite things to do, and that's talk about really bad superhero toys.
Nice.
With Toy Not Fair will be the fifth part, or issue 105.
Are you going to be discussing Trouble as well?
We will very likely be. Thank you for bringing up Trouble. We will fold Trouble into one of those. We've talked about Trouble in the past.
You should talk about Trouble every episode.
We're going to be talking about everything from like bad characters like the Duke of Oil to bad comics like US One.
I'm not going to bring it up now, but Lacey has become obsessed with one particular really awful contrivance that DC put. One really, really bad contrivance DC pulled.
Well, now you have to tell us. You can't say you're not going to tell us.
I will tell you in Defective Comics, issue 104 or 105 of Hey Kids Comics.
which basically means I'll never find out.
And you actually remind me.
I'll tell you after, Bobby. I'll tell you after.
Another DC fail. So there's lots to talk about there.
All right, Bobby, plug what you got.
Well, being the unmountable.
it's a difficult plug.
While I still have my still have yet to get back on the weekly comic train as far as my Last Stop comic, there's still 6 years worth of comics at laststopcomic.com. But I have been forced to do the Jedi Cole Universe cartoon You Are Here against my better judgment, but it has taken off and it's a great hit. Everyone loves it. Written by Cole, Jedi Cole right there, that is on the other side of the phone line with me, as well as myself. That goes out, I believe, every Sunday.
And I believe I was actually told by the host of our new show here on the JCU, Do It Yourself, Vega Bomber said he recently put on his site, linked the JCU Sunday Funnies, the Superman one.
Nice. Well, it comes out every Sunday, and the first year here, You Are Here Volume 1 is now available, not only through myself or Mr. Cole, but also in stores at Urban Legends in Mesquite, and what is the store in Austin?
Tribe Comics in Austin, and occasionally, begrudgingly, through Eddie Medina.
That's right. And currently in the works at a possible another store here locally. And write for the Dallas Examiner with reviews for movies, TV, martial arts, comics, and my newest venture, which isn't necessarily comic related, but I've officially become the distributor for Traditions Clothing Line that is owned by Don the Dragon Wilson. And wow. So I will hopefully have some of that so y'all can start buying stuff and put me through college.
Nice.
Excellent.
Cole, what do you got?
I'm sorry, put my daughter.
And that's why you are unmountable, sir.
That's right. Cole, what do you got for plugs?
We're coming to you, of course, through the auspices of the Jedi Cole universe at JediCole.com, home of the ever-expanding, much like the universe itself, Jedi Cole Universe Podcasting Network. In fact, once we're through with this show, tomorrow, if you listen to this on Friday, tomorrow you can check out What'd You Think with Mrs. Jedi Cole, Bobby Blakey, and surprise, the guys from Hey Kids Comics.
Look at that.
Yeah. You can follow us on Twitter. If by follow, you follow someone who takes a lot of breaks.
you can rest with us on Twitter.
That's right. You can rest on your laurels on Twitter and occasionally see when I'm inspired to respond to the @midnight hashtag challenges. Eat Jedi Cole U on Twitter. You can write to us. Please, for the love of God, write to us. And do write to us, as we challenged you earlier, about your falling for the number one. To get your possibly be in the running to get that free copy of Web of Spider-Man number one. Yep. at jcumail@yahoo.com.
Everybody's clamoring right now.
Absolutely. They're typing that into their whatever the address book or whatever the hell they call that. And of course, as I'm recording this, tomorrow I will be at the hanging around for a while at Fan Days at the Dallas Comic Con Fan Days in Irving, the free event. It is a free event. Go to Convention Awareness Project Texas at conventionawarenesstx.blogspot.com because I'm too cheap to pony up for a website. And check out my free listings all year long of every convention in the state of Texas. If I know about it, if it's in the borders of the Lone Star State, you will find it listed there. Click on the link to the show and find out where you can get some free convention action in the Dallas area if you're fortunate enough to be around.
Well, there you go.
And before we sign off, I'm sorry, I do want to say one thing. It's not to bring the show down, but I want to send thoughts and prayers out to Jonathan Vila's family.
Yeah.
He's Aquaman, San Antonio, who was around all the conventions and recently passed away. So yeah. I know they probably won't hear this, but I'm hopefully somebody else listens and knows him and knows that, you know, he did a lot of charities, was a good guy. So, you know, he will be missed.
Absolutely.
And I did not realize. I knew that he had suffered a stroke. I had not been up to date on the news. I'm sorry.
He passed away early this morning, not really.
I am sorry to hear that.
Yeah.
I actually, in my photo archive of a series I was eventually going to get around to putting up on the JCU, was a series called 100 Costumes. And it was just pictures that I had taken myself of people in costume. I mean, I could find costume pictures anywhere, but the core purpose was I wanted 100 pictures I took myself.
Right.
And I actually have a picture of him as Aquaman because I was just blown away that somebody bothered to dress up as Aquaman.
Right. That got me. That was the first time I met him. And again, I barely knew him. I just knew him in passing, like, hey, how are you doing? He's always a great guy.
Absolutely.
I will say I was, you know, because of just knowing what he's done for charity and fixtures, I actually had done an Aquaman picture that I posted and didn't really say who it was for, but I actually mailed it to him. Sadly, I don't believe he ever was awake to see it.
Sorry to hear that.
So, and you know, I wrote him a letter. You know, he was just somebody I thought did so much for the community. You know, I felt the need to reach out and at least do something for him.
Absolutely. I was unaware. I mean, I'd seen him at many conventions, especially when I was down at some of Chris Kidd's shows down in San Antonio. I had often saw him there. He was just always, you know, just full of energy and happy to be there as Aquaman. I had no idea that he'd gone out and done so much charity work and appeared as Aquaman at hospitals for kids. And,
right.
That's just.
And apparently he was like a voice of a wrestling federation too, I guess, locally in San Antonio.
Wow.
Yeah, they did. They had a whole thing. They were doing a fundraiser for the medical bills, you know. So I think I believe his page is Aquafest, is the community.
I believe that is correct.
On Facebook. So if anybody's interested to learn more about him or to, you know, I know they're going to need a lot of money just to pay for his medical bills. So if you want to head over there, at least show the support. Even if you can't give me money, I'm sure it'll help the family.
Absolutely. Right. Show the support for the fan community because there are a lot of people out there doing a lot of stuff that we don't often know about.
Yeah, and we always, you know, it's always the good ones that go. You know, I know it's cliche, but it's always people like him that, you know, he's not running around saying, look at me, look what I'm doing. He was not the epitome of the way you think a superhero would look, but he walked around like he was.
Right.
Absolutely. And he was just always seemed to be having a lot of fun.
Well, there you go. And you did not bring the show down. We should all...
No, not at all. In fact, if anything else, you help, you know, bring attention to something that is very important in the community.
Absolutely. And expect more updates on that as we can get it. If we can get more updates on any kind of charity drives that are happening or anything like that, we will keep you updated. So with all that being said, we need to jump off of here because we've got to record a show for Bobby following this show.
Yeah,
so
for Bob and Catherine, we've been fortunate to be invited back for some reason to their show.
It's the dick
it's
jokes.
It's going to be all about B. Arthur and Andrew, and all about B. Arthur and Andrew's uncomfortable infatuation with Minnie Pearl.
It's only uncomfortable for you, Bobby. Not uncomfortable.
And with that, I think we better sign off.
All right, guys. Bye. Collect and enjoy your comic books, but only with a start at issue Turkeyfoot 79-12 Alpha Omega Zeta
like
Edward
sort of
James Olmos 15 39 Hike Niner 12 475. Good night, everybody. Say good night.
Hike.
With a load of iron ore, 26,000 tons more than the Edmund Fitzgerald weighed empty. That good ship and true was a bone to be chewed when the gales of November came early. The ship was the pride of the American side, coming back from some mill in Wisconsin. As the big freighters go, it was bigger than most, with a crew and good captain well seasoned. Concluding some terms with a couple of steel firms when they left fully loaded for Cleveland. Then later that night when the ship's bell rang, could it be the north wind they'd been feeling? The wind and the wires made a tattletale sound, and the wave broke over the railing. And every man knew, as the captain did too, 'twas the witch of November come stealing. The dawn came late and the breakfast had to wait when the gales of November came slashing. When afternoon came, it was freezing rain in the face of a hurricane west wind. When supper time came, the old cook came on deck saying, fellas, it's too rough to feed you. 7 p.m. a main hatchway gave in. He said, fellas, it's been good to know ya. The captain wired in, he had water coming in, and the good ship and crew was in peril. And later that night when his lights went out of sight, came the wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald. Does anyone know where the love of God goes when the waves turn the minutes to hours? The searchers all say they'd have made Whitefish Bay if they'd put 15 more miles behind her. They might have split up or they might have capsized. They may have broke deep and took water. All that remains is the faces and the names of the wives and the sons and the daughters. Later Lake Huron rolls, Superior sings in the rooms of her ice water mansion. Old Michigan steams like a young man's dreams. The islands and bays are for sportsmen. And farther below, Lake Ontario takes in what Lake Erie can send her. The iron boats go, as the mariners all know, with the gales of November remembered. Musty old hall in Detroit, they prayed in the Maritime Sailors' Cathedral. The church bell chimed till it rang 29 times for each man on the Edmund Fitzgerald. And the legend lives on from the Chippewa on down of the big lake they call Gitche-Gumee. Superior, they said, never gives up her dead when the gales of November come early.